Victoria Randall with the CNA Instructor's Secret Cocktail, and I am so excited today because I will be interviewing Ms. Lakeisha Jacobs, who is a registered nurse who owns a nurse aid training program in the North Carolina area. So Lakeisha will be joining us shortly, but before I do so, I definitely want to thank you guys for joining in and tuning in, and please be sure to have your questions ready for her. Ask her whatever questions you do or that you may have about starting a nurse aid training program in general or specifically to the North Carolina area. So I see Ms. Jacobs has joined us. Thank you so much for joining. I just introduced you to everyone, but if you don't mind just stating again who you are and the name of the school and city and state that you're from.
Sure. So my name is Lakeisha Jacobs, or Lakeisha Hope Jacobs, and I live here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and that's where I own my business. And the name of my school is New Hope Medical Training.
Can you tell everyone what all programs you offer at New Hope?
Right now, we offer the course of CNA Nurse Aid 1 program. We also now offer the Nurse Aid Refresher program, and that is for those who had their license at one time and a CNA license lapsed, or they qualified because of military training or other training. And I also offer the Phlebotomy Technician program and the Phlebotomy Refresher program.
She has multiple course offerings, which I love. The more courses you have, clearly the more money-making potential that you have, right? So before we get into talking a little bit more about your programs, can you tell us a little bit about any fears that you had about starting a school? So many people who follow me are so interested in starting a school, but they have some fears. So do you mind sharing with us any of your fears and how you overcame those fears?
Sure. So initially, you know, the fears were, you know, going out and marketing to, you know, to the public. I'm an introvert, so I like people one-on-one, but as far as getting out there and putting in marketing, that was a little difficult to overcome. And the second biggest challenge was to secure the nursing home contracts. I would say that's the biggest hurdle in a nurse aid program is, you know, winning that administrator over and letting them know why we should be in your facility. And so it was tough, but we were able to secure the contracts that we needed.
And right there about the contracts. So tell me a little bit about your, you know, how did you go about that? How did you find out who the person was, who you needed to contact? What did you do when you finally figured out who that person was? Can you kind of outline that for people who are looking to try to get nursing home contracts?
It is true, you know, who you know does matter. So definitely, you know, talking to your nursing friends who may work at a nursing home or a friend of a friend, you know, that definitely helps if you have kind of way relationships to kind of open the doors, at least to talk to the administrator. That has helped tremendously, as well as just, you know, writing down all the nursing homes that you're interested in and starting one by one and doing what we can do to get in the door to get in front of that administrator or the person that's in control of the clinical practices from nursing schools and nurse aid programs.
Just like you said, I personally like wrote down a list of all of them and I called them and I found out who the person was, what their email was, what their office hours were. I mean, if I couldn't get it that day, I'd call back the next day and try again.
So. Exactly. Definitely. Persistence is the key, and don't give up if you get your first no. So I think we got about 3 or 4 no's before we got a yes. So. And it's good to have backup ones. North Carolina requires you to have a backup, which I was like, oh, well, you know, it was so difficult to get this one. Then we have to get another one. But it was so true. If that facility has state deficiencies or there are other issues, then you can't do your training there here in North Carolina. And so you need to have a backup facility as well.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about your experience before you got into starting your vocational school.
Well, I actually have been a registered nurse, believe it or not, for 19 years. And majority of my nursing career, of course, as most nurses do, I worked one-on-one with CNAs. And I did a lot of the staff development and training to ensure they were competent enough to provide care for our patients in the home. And so I like that part of it a lot, and just kind of transitioned it into, you know, starting my own program where I can help and teach other lay people who may want to get into the field and train them like I was doing on my job. So that's kind of how
you had some good one-on-one training in your work life with CNAs before you got, and that's probably what helped fuel your love for it then, huh?
Definitely.
So tell me a little bit about, I know in North Carolina recently, I want to say it was like in 2012 or 13, maybe even 15, I don't remember the year now, but in North Carolina, you were able to have a nurse aide training program just through the state. And then they implemented a law where you had to have it a proprietary school licensing. Can you talk a little? I think you were in business around that time because you've been in business with your school for how long now?
Since 2012, so, and then you're right, North Carolina was one of the few states that did not require your nurse aide training program to be a proprietary school. And so I kind of jumped in with that when that was going on, and you could develop your own curriculum, and you did not have to go through any type of, approval process. And so that's when I started it. Then, but then a few years later, they did make a law change that you did have to become a proprietary school, and most of my competitors kind of decided, we're not going to do that. And so I was one of the ones that decided, no, I really enjoy what I do, so I'm definitely going to turn my program into a proprietary school.
Awesome. So during that transition, the application process I know can be fierce. Sometimes it kind of scares people away. They look at the application and they're like, So can you tell us a little bit about what parts of the application were probably the hardest for you to overcome and how you did that?
Sure. So, here in North Carolina, you do an initial application that's just saying, I intend to open up a proprietary school. They want to see your qualifications, what qualifies you to own a proprietary school. Me being a registered nurse and actually having a business before did help a little bit. And so they look at all of that. And then once you pass that stage, they do say, okay, now submit us your curriculum to start this program. And so that was probably the second hardest part. And so if I had a consultant like yourself that says, no, you're not going to get approved with, 80 hours of a nurse aide program, 80 hours of this, or 80 hours in your phlebotomy course, you really need a 120 hours. And so that not knowing that going in, I kind of went back and forth with them with, what they felt like was the curriculum that they wanted. So looking back, if I had a consultant, I would say, that would save you time and money if you could find out beforehand, what your state is looking for as far as curriculum. Every state is different.
Point that sometimes it's little things like I'll consult with someone and it'll be that they didn't have that 1 year of nursing home experience as an
Right.
RN and they missed that and they didn't know. And so they got halfway through the application process, not even recognizing that's something they needed. Or I mean, there's small elements. And so you're right, like really bringing someone on to help you look at that beforehand, look at the whole picture is so key. So tell me a little bit about like going from teaching. Actually, going from the registered nurse working with CNAs, but then actually teaching to pass a state exam, because
Right.
that is different, right? So, how did you overcome that different type of teaching technique to prepare people to actually pass the state exam? What did you do?
Well, I did have a little bit of, I was a little bit ahead of the game because I had the fast track program first, so I knew what it took to pass. That didn't change or what to pass the test. And so then I just added the additional curriculum when I opened up my proprietary school. But what I did was I got a lot of feedback from the students. I get that relationship with them, so when they do take the test, they came back to me and says, I passed, but this is what they asked me, or I missed one skill and because of this, and I use that and help all the students beforehand. So I get feedback from the students to actually go take the test. And here in North Carolina, they pretty much write out exactly how what steps that they want you to do. And so we really focus on those steps in that booklet and say, this is what we need for you to do in order to pass. In the last few days of class, we really just focus on getting those steps correct, and doing it in a repetitive manner. Also helps in class, and have them watch others do it, and then we just keep repeating those steps, and they go in and they get it all correct, and they pass their exam.
Important. That student candidate handbook is
Yes.
so helpful. And it's not
Right.
just helpful for the student, but it's helpful for us as instructors. Like
Yes.
you need to know that book, right?
Yes, I do. You do. That book, I tell them it's their Bible between now and time to take the exam, and it's mine. And so since I've been doing it since 2012, I know it, all the steps, by hand, by heart. And so the instructor really needs to take time to memorize those steps so they can be helpful to their students.
Now you have a staff of how many now?
Right now, I have two three instructors and two assistants.
Beautiful, beautiful. So with that, how do you prepare your instructors to make sure that they understand those steps and that there's some consistency among them? Like, how do you do that?
Right. And so what I do is I have them come into the classroom while I'm working with the students and train that way. And I really emphasize that they need to go by the steps that's in the booklet. And also we also for other skills that are not in the book that the board of nursing requires us to review, we focus as long as it's in writing and that we're on the same page and looking at the same thing, it should run smoothly. And if there is something that's contradictory, I'll go back and we'll reinforce that teaching. I'm forever popping into class and making sure that those steps are being done as it is so they can pass the exam and be competent nurse aides.
So Ebony asked, where can I get the student handbook? So Ebony, each state, there's I think like four different testers. There's Headmaster, there's ProMetrics, there is Pearson VUE. There, depending on your state, each state has a person that actually proctors the exam. So for North Carolina, I want to say it's Pearson VUE. Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So in North Carolina, it's Pearson VUE. So you literally just type student CNA or nurse aide candidate handbook in that and then the state's name and it'll pop up. But in her state it's Pearson VUE. Here in Georgia it's Pearson VUE and it's different in other states. So what would you tell someone, like what type of advice would you give someone coming into the business of starting a nurse aid training program? What give me two pieces of advice you'd give them.
Oh, wow. So I would say to start off with the nurse aid program first, and then if you want to add additional programs, most people do want the nurse aid program. And as far as try to start out with as less overhead as possible, you know, to start small and work your way up. Do a lot of sweat equity. You go in and teach those classes and then hand it off to someone so you can build if you want, and so you can build a business. You don't want to work yourself into a job, meaning that you want to be able to at least be able to delegate some of that off and let someone else teach while you enjoy your life as well. So, and keep an eye on your numbers. See, you know, as far as overhead and costs, what do I need to charge to really make the profit that I need? How many classes do I need to make the profit that I want to make?
Said that I have a business plan course, and I tell people that all the time in the business plan, having a business plan is key. And you can anticipate, like you just said, you know, how many people do I really need to at least break even? You can do that in your business plan, and your business plan is breathing, living document. It changes. So I'm sure for you, as you added additional programs, your business plan changed, right? The structure of things changed. Things look differently. I know we talked a little bit about getting a spot for the school, right? In the midst of the application process, a lot of people, their question is, thank you, Caprice said, great advice. But a lot of people, their question is the following, you know, do I need to get a place? What does the place need to look like? When do I need to get it before I submit the application? And it varies per state. So do you, can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like in North Carolina?
Well, for North Carolina, for the Nurse Aid 1 program, you have to be approved by both proprietary schools and the Board of Nursing. And so the Board of Nursing does say submit your first application before you get office space. And you do want to find out from your Board of Nursing what type of office space are they looking for. Do you have to have a separate office to lock the files up? How big does the lab need to be? How far a bed that far apart does the beds need to be? So I would just suggest that you want to I had a smaller space, and then when it was time for the proprietary school to come out, I was able to get a bigger space and get the and also know what the nurse aid program was looking for and make sure it adjusted accordingly.
So some states, they want you to get approval through the state, whether it's the Board of Nursing or the Department of Health or whatever, and then you go on to get the proprietary school designation. And to your point, you definitely have to have a spot by then. Because how quick did you say you submitted your application and they were ready to come
So,
out and look?
right. So with the proprietary schools, once they finalize my curriculum and say, okay, this curriculum works for us, I'm coming out next week to see your space. So, very quickly. So I did have my space already. But again, you just have to here be prepared for because when they're ready to come out, they're ready to come out to take a look at it.
And if you're not ready, that's not a good thing.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going through the process now in Maryland, and I wish I had this information beforehand. Yeah, but if you're going through the process, meaning you're not finished, you still have time to get this type of information, okay? It's not too late. I know in Maryland, I think Maryland is Prometrics too, by the way, for their state proctor. But anyhow, Caprice, please feel free to reach out to me afterwards. I'll put my email in the chat and we can talk because I want you to be able to make sure that you feel comfortable that you have all the information you need to be successful. That's the whole purpose of this.
Also,
So
when
I
the
know,
border, I'm
go
sorry, one
ahead.
quick thing about the space. So I had to have two visits. From first, the proprietary school did their visit and allowed me to open the doors, and then the Board of Nursing came out. They also require certain equipment and space. And so if you don't have all your equipment, or if your curtains are not hanging properly, or a bed is even not working quite as it should, they will have to reschedule that visit and come back. So again, that's another delay. Now you're paying rent, right? And so you need to make sure that you have all your equipment in place and that everything is working as it should. Even talk to your coordinators in your board at the Board of Nursing, and even send them a picture. Does this look okay? Does these curtains look okay? So it will prevent them from having to delay your getting approved.
So right. Let me tell y'all something. The state came out to my place and I thought I was so ready. I had everything perfect. When I tell you I went to manipulate my bed so that the head would come up, the head came up, and then I went to manipulate it so the feet would come up and the feet would not move, y'all.
Oh
The
wow,
feet would not move. And they were looking at me like, well, Mrs. Randall, I guess you're not gonna get
Exactly.
approved. So I'm telling you, little intricate details. If they say you gotta have three bedpans, you cannot come with two. You better have three.
Exactly.
Whatever it is that they say, because something that small, like she just said, will delay you, and now who knows when they're gonna come back.
On
So,
their schedule.
yep. Erica, she's asking, Erica Lakeisha, where did you get most of your equipment from? She said.
Believe it or not, I was actually got a lot of things on Amazon. Everybody has Amazon Prime. I got a lot of things there. And I know there are other programs out there like Nurse Pocket or Pocket Nurse, I'm sorry. Walmart has, things. And we also have things like the towels and the blankets and the pillows, get that from Walmart. And then we have a medical supply. The local medical supply store is right here in the area. In your area, you can go and get things like condom catheters and catheter bags and things like that. So, combination of the three. Craigslist
And
for the hospital
that's what
beds,
I was just getting ready to say.
Craigslist.
Please go to Craigslist, okay? The hospital bed, the wheelchair, the hospital bed, the bedside table, whatever. Those, the briefs, those types of things. I can't tell you how many people I reached out to on Craigslist that were like, "Hey, I have this, grandma passed. It's just sitting here. Come get it for $200, and you get the whole kit and caboodle." So definitely look for stuff like that. People who are clients of mine, you actually do get a discount with Pocket Nurse. I just sealed the deal with that. So Pocket Nurse, if you're a client of mine, you can get a discount with Pocket Nurse. And I recommend Pocket Nurse for a lot of the continuous equipment. Like there'll be equipment that you're going to continuously need, or stimulation equipment, like you just said, the condom cap or the catheter, or the Foley, anything like that. They have a lot of that stimulation equipment. It's built specifically for educational purposes, and they have it at really good rates, and the customer service is phenomenal. So, there's a multitude of options. But whatever option you do come up with, find one that works for you on a consistent basis after the initial, right? How do you find what all you need is required for your state visit? It should be on the state's website. And if it's not, because some states it's not on the website, you have to email them and ask for it specifically. Do you remember if it's on the website for you in North Carolina?
Yes, it's on our, we call it North Carolina, ncnar.org. Click education, and they try to put everything on there, to make it convenient for you. I guess to prevent a bunch of phone calls and emails, and it was pretty much laid out for us. And the equipment list, all that was there for the public.
Careful, because it's not easy to find usually. And in some states like North Carolina, I mean not North Carolina, New Jersey, none of it's online. Alabama, I think too. So you just have to call and find out. So always Google nurse aid program application and then your state's name. If you Google nurse aid training program application, then you'll find what you need specifically to your state. Otherwise, you're going to find a whole bunch of CNA schools, and that's not what you're trying to do. So. So anything else you want to add? I know you got to get going. I thank you so much for your time, Ms.
Sure.
Jacobs. Anything else that you want to add that we didn't get a chance to talk about that you feel would be very beneficial?
No, that was it. Just take advice from consultants and other people who are had the training program and get as much education information as you can before starting out. And just good luck and wish everyone the best.
One more thing. The finances. Everyone wants to know about finances because sometimes they get in your business about the finances. I'm sorry. If you don't mind just talking about that real quick, were they in your business about finances or what did that part of the application process
Well,
look like?
the proprietary school did ask me, how much money did you have in savings? So they did want to know. They didn't give you a certain number. They just want to know how are you going to sufficiently how financially operate your school as you get it off the ground. So some may ask for that. So it's good to kind of have some reserve. It doesn't for that, and whether it's a loan or money that you have stocked away for that you can get to, whether it's, I don't recommend you going to a 401k, but as long as you have something that if you had to get it, that you had it available. And I actually, and I still do, kept my full-time job. I don't recommend anyone to quit their job right away. So you can use your salary, even if it's part-time, to support your company until you get it to where you want it to be.
Evangelist Grace said, how did you go about startup capital? I literally just saved up a whole bunch of money and started my school that way. I didn't take out a loan. I didn't do anything. How did you go about it?
The same way I had money and savings that was available for me. So I also didn't want to take out a loan. I mean, you can get a low interest credit card or something like that, but not any, to help with supplies. But I wouldn't, spend over a few thousand just to get that. Other than that, I try to stay away from the loans if I can.
I do have a video on YouTube, Miss Grace, about that. It talks about how to get angel investors versus loans versus bootstrapping your own startup. So if you have not been on my YouTube channel, if you go to YouTube and type in The Secret Cocktail, you'll find my YouTube channel. And I have a lot of useful videos that gives you everything, information about topics, and that's one of them, okay? All right, so thank you so much. I'm sorry, guys. Now everyone's pouring in the questions, and I know she says she's got to get going.
Right, it's all right.
Yeah, but
Save as
thank you
much
so
as you
much for your
can, and
time.
thank you, Victoria, and you guys have a great day.
Thank you so much for listening in to the Secret Cocktails podcast. I hope this interview with Lakeisha brought you some great insight, especially if you're in the state of North Carolina. If you have not yet subscribed to our podcast, please do so now. Every month, we will be uploading content to help you open your CNA school in your area. If you'd ever love to consult with us to help you get started, you can visit us online at thesecretcocktail.com or feel free to email me info@thesecretcocktail.com. I am Victoria Randall, your pusher, pushing you to be the entrepreneur you are destined to be. Until next time.